This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now.
I am thrilled to introduce our guest today. Our guest, M.D. Selig, didn't just write for the screen. He lived a life worthy of it. A decorated Marine combat jet attack pilot, his real-world experiences flying missions around the globe are the engine driving his cinematic storytelling. Armed with a history degree from the University of Arkansas, Selig dives deep into the questions most are afraid to ask. Merging the gripping tension of his real-world experience with a historian's eye for ignored details, the results are cinematic stories that have captured audiences on Netflix, Showtime, and Amazon Prime. Now, with his international best-selling novel, Hush, readers are left wondering what other covert histories lay in wait. Please welcome our guest, M.D. Selig, to our show today. Oh, hello, everyone. You are back on another edition of When Spirit Calls, and we're so happy to have you listening. And thank you so much for joining us time and time again to hear about all the magical, wonderful stories that we have to share with you and the value that we want to deliver to you as well. Today, you have learned a little bit about our guest, MD, in the bio, but I want to open the floor up to MD. Thank you for being here with us.
My honor, Deanne.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun today. And so in good old When Spirit fashion, we always bring up this, what is the story? What got you to where you are today? And so let us learn about you. I want to know what the story is. I want to know how MD became the MD that he is now.
Sure. I came out of college with a history degree from the University of Arkansas, and I went into flight training for the Marines, which is essentially Navy flight training. That's what you get. All Marines go through Navy flight training. So Pensacola, Florida, et cetera. Then I was selected to fly jets, and my specific gun squadron jet was the A6 Intruder, which is an all-weather attack jet. This would have been 1990 when I joined my squadron in North Carolina, and then we were immediately sent overseas, kind of an overseas deployment where we do training exercises with NATO, other, you know, air forces and this, that, and the other. We're basically practicing for combat.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, we are headed to Operation Desert Storm in January of 1991.
Wow.
Subsequently, I flew combat missions every night of that war, which was a 43-day air war for your listeners that aren't familiar specifically with wow, Operation Desert Storm. So I'm flying combat missions, and I'm also the squadron intelligence officer, meaning I'm reading the top secret briefs from around the world, the traffic that's coming through for our squadron, but also just the worldwide traffic.
Wow.
And being a total nerd like I am, I had to read all of the traffic because I was fascinated with what was happening. And, you know, I'm just trying to kind of survive the combat mission. So in a stressful environment, I'm starting to realize that none of the top secret traffic had to do with weapons of mass destruction. My attack missions were not about weapons of mass destruction. But yet I'm coming back to the officer's mess each day and eating with a big screen CNN TV there in the big mess hall and realizing that all of the media, all of it was about how we were over there saving the world from weapons of mass destruction and about to find his weapons of mass destruction. So I just had this sense kind of at that moment of obvious confusion, but then that kind of kicked off me wanting to start to pull back the curtain. I mean, looking back on it, I realized that's kind of the time where I realized this is all well above the mechanism that's turning the screws here is well above the American government or the American military or all governments. I just had a sense it was a bigger thing. So I couldn't really do anything in that at that time because I was just trying to survive day by day. Yeah. But I basically finished my career as a pilot and went right into screenwriting. And
wow. So I went swing.
Yeah, well, I went to LA because I knew I had been a writer before that and a musician. So I thought, I'm going to go into film and music. I'm not just going to go fly a commercial airliner. I'd have been bored after flying kind of, you know, it's like race cars to a bus or something. I couldn't do that.
Yeah, it feels like a couple notches back, you know? Yeah.
Right. So I went to LA and began writing, and that led to writing, directing, and producing. I had a show called Southern Justice on Netflix and Showtime. And then the current show that I have is The Gunrunner Billy Kane on Amazon Prime. And that was kind of, those two were the ones that I hyper-focused on, but I was also being hired by other production companies to write. Somebody saw some of my writing or liked what I was doing, and so I started getting hired to write.
Amazing.
And in that process, I started researching covert events. And so Hush, this is kind of how I'll end this, Hush is basically your covert history dealing with alien traded technologies and alien interactions since 1940 up through about the Eisenhower era. And now I'm on to volume two.
Wow. This is incredible. I just want to peel back all the layers because there's so many questions that I have about this whole experience for you.
Sure.
You know, first of all, you know, thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you probably get that a lot and it probably doesn't feel like there's depth there, but I truly deeply...
Oh, I think it's great.
Right? The amount of courage that takes, right? And willingness to put yourself out there. You know, you talked about the recognition of the incongruence of seeing the media, but knowing a deeper truth. And you saw that there was a big gap with that.
Mm-hmm.
How has that impacted, you know, your writing nowadays, you know, in wanting to be a bit more of a truth seeker? How does that kind of manifest itself or show up for you? Or does it?
Well, certainly I'm skeptical of anything in the media. I mean, to the point now where for the last maybe year and a half, I really don't look at the media at all because I know that's their narrative.
Yeah.
And that when I say there, that's a very small group I identify in Hush. And so I won't go into the super details of it, but I identify the small group that kind of runs the planet. I call them the cabal, but they are basically the blue bloods, the Rockefellers, the very top folks from a standpoint of wealth. And since they've been in those families forever, they tend to continue to run that MO as it's passed down. So what happens is the very small have access to the alien traded technologies because they're able to control when a ship crashes. They're able to control not only the military, but they're able to control anything to do with whatever part of the world that thing has been found in. And then they get access to that technology. So that's a lot of when you ask me about how does it affect you, the research behind how they've controlled this and kept it so quiet for so long, that's how it's affected me, to kind of over time see their kind of sinister little ways of doing things where they suicide people and things like that, meaning they assassinate people who have a big mouth, so to speak.
Right.
And that's how they've kept it down and how they keep the public basically controlled on many levels, not just on alien related stuff, but the way they turn the screws on just regular mass media is pretty, pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, this is so interesting. You know, knowing what you know and you having the courage to express it, I mean, you could be one of those assassinations potentially. Does that worry you, or do you just trust that this is part of your divine mission here? Like,
It's more the latter. I'm coming from love, and what are they going to do? Shoot me and kill me? I'm just going to get bigger. My book's already out there.
That's right. Yeah. I love that because
it's kind of going crazy.
I can't wait to get my hands on it because I've been in that circle of conspiracy theorists for quite some time. I'm actually going to Mount Shasta for a little UFO thing this summer. And so, you know, I've been privy to a lot of this, you know, the bigger story or the bigger narrative. And, you know, someone said to me not very long ago, they said, oh, yeah, well, you know why it's called broadcasting? It's spell casting but to a broad mass audience. And so recognizing the spells that have been cast, essentially. And so these are like those words and those statements and the fear plague and all the things that they're trying to do to keep us again in control as part of the big, you know, whether you could call it WEF or whatever, you know. But I think what it comes back to is revealing as much truth as we possibly can see through our own light.
Right. Right. And yeah. Trying to reverse the narrative.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Because most of us are so caught in that trap. Right. And right. That's what I see Hush as being as, hey, we're trying to show you guys there's a whole nother reality that exists that you can't even witness because you've been brainwashed to not see it. Right. Yeah. And it's there, but we can't see it. We've been brainwashed not to see it. Anyway, I just find this so fascinating. So, okay, question for you, because you mentioned, you know, UFOs and you mentioned the technology that we have access to. Have you had any encounters in your time in space, or like not in space, but flying and that sort of thing? I'm curious to know if that's maybe a story in your book, but I'd love to hear it if there is one.
Not with me specifically. I mean, I certainly saw what a bunch of people in Seattle said was a UFO because I was watching the Seattle skyline when I was a kid, when I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
I was about 20 miles away from Seattle and I was watching the skyline and this thing was doing crazy maneuvers over the city at kind of Mach velocities because it was going back and forth 20 miles in a shot just really quickly. And I knew all the aircraft at that time because I was already a private pilot. I was kind of passionate about flying. So by the time I was a senior in high school, I was a private pilot. But I was watching it going, and I was listening to the rock music station, and I literally reached over to grab the phone. I'm like, I'm going to call in because no one's going to believe this. I got to call. And they just stopped the music right then. And the DJ's like, okay, stop all the music. We are being deluged with calls or something over the city. And I was like, yeah, I got it. I'm seeing it. And then it just, and then it did some more movements and then just, you know, vanished. And I was like, okay, that's not from here. But it doesn't, it's kind of funny because I think back on it and I think, not as far as I can tell, that didn't drive anything for me. It just gave me a hint of like, okay, a moment in time where I saw something, who knows what it was. I know it wasn't anything in the arsenal of humans.
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't, I just kind of thought that was cool. And then, you know, who knows? I was a high schooler, so I probably grabbed another beer and was like, all right, cool. You know, and then, then yeah, went on. You just kind of go on because you've been told forever there's no such thing as aliens. So you, your brain kind of muds over after a while and you're like, okay, well, I saw something and everybody else saw, but you know, whatever. It's like the Phoenix lights.
Yeah,
like where thousands of people see it and no one talks about it.
It's so interesting. It's that cognitive dissonance, right? You know, that we kind of get trapped into. So, okay. So now you are this incredible writer. This is your passion, is it? The writing piece.
And writing and music, yeah.
And music too. Okay. So do you feel like you, that you are a bit of a channeler? Like, you know, do you feel like it comes from some divinity or some other source that moves through you?
It's interesting. I tell Lincoln, my assistant and my best friend here, he's the one who kind of keeps me straight on these podcasts. And I had told him as I was finishing Hush, because that was a 3-year endeavor to write that. Normally I write a 120-page screenplay, but that's a 600-page novel and it's written like one long screenplay. And I was telling him toward the end, I'm like, bro, there's weird stuff happening with what's coming in like a fire hose. The amount of information that I was getting, because normally I do insane research.
Right.
So I call it the committee now. And since that time, Lincoln has actually been privy to a couple of strange real time where I'll get on a podcast because I'm on a lot of podcasts lately. Yeah. And, you know, I'm there for the interview. And all of a sudden the woman says, you know, I got to tell you about something that I just want to tell you before we do the podcast. And of course, Lincoln's listening in on the other computer to kind of watch my performance so I don't, you know, spit up or something. And he kind of keeps me straight, like, you know, don't slurp your tea or whatever.
Right.
But he's listening in. And all of a sudden she goes off on a topic that I had just told Lincoln that I'm working on for the next novel, for Hush, which is a Covert Evil Volume 1, but I'm working on Volume 2 now, and I'm researching certain covert events. and certain known events that have a lot of covert elements that occurred. And she goes off on a facet of what's coming in volume two that I'm just telling you, not in a million years would I've ever found out what she brought up, to the point where I just looked over at Lincoln like, bro, you're hearing this? Like, and he was like kind of spooked, like I was spooked, like they're here, like the committee is, Michael, go that way, you're going to do this interview, and then you're going to get this new information for volume two because we need this out, you know. It was like, it's like that. Yeah. So I just tell everybody now, I kind of have a sense of them. I don't, you know, they don't come and stand in my doorway, but absolutely present. I'm being driven to write at a much more valid level and a much more powerful level because of the people that are getting in touch with me that I'm being tuned into, not of my doing. And the book has now become like an international bestseller, and that's not me either. I mean, I'm a good writer, but I'm just saying that the stuff that is occurring with the novel is far beyond the mechanics that I'm turning.
You know? Yes. Oh, okay. I love this, and I want to build on this because I think it's so imperative for all of humanity to understand their power. Their ability for personal power. I'm not saying power over others. We don't need that, right? We need is our personal power and understanding that we are so filled with these beautiful, beautiful inner technology. So a big part of my passion work is inner technology. And we have been conditioned to believe that, oh, no, that's bad, or no, we don't have it. And yet we have experiences like what you just mentioned, where this other interviewer was, you know, hitting things that they're like, how could she possibly know these things? Like, what is going on here? And it's because there's the beyond. There's the inner beyond as well that is working. And I love that you said, you know, you've got this council, this, you know, I call my mind the divine council. And I, even now as we're speaking, I feel galactic energies coming. And I want to just share with you a little story. For some reason, I'm being told to share this. So I used to be terrified of UFOs and aliens because I used to sneak out of my room and watch Unsolved Mysteries on our little TV.
That's like me watching Dark Shadows. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, but it created fear in me. And yet I knew I came from there. So it was a very, you know, interesting evolution for me in the relationship. And I remember when someone first started mentioning that they were on the Council of Galactic Federation. And I'm thinking like, you guys are out to lunch. I don't know about that. But as I leaned into that and I opened up the possibility in the relationship and I did my own learning and research, all of a sudden this remembrance started to come inside of me. I started to remember these moments, these experiences. I remember being on ships. I remember being on other planets.
Yeah.
And things started to happen. And I thought, okay, I'm really losing my mind now, especially coming from like a very medical kind of professional background, of course. But as I started to lean in, I started to build relationships with these energies or these entities. And the information that was being revealed to me, you couldn't make up. Like, it was so on point and so accurate and so beautiful. And so a few months ago, I was on Lake Ontario. I was there seeing a client. They asked me to come do a blessing and a clearing on their farm. And so I was staying on this farm. And I was feeling a bit uncomfortable when I went to bed at night and just something wasn't feeling settled. And, you know, I was having, you know, some pain. And all of a sudden, with my eyes open, I saw the image of a large praying mantis being. And it was about 9 feet tall. And I felt a gentleness right away. Like the gentleness just exuded from this being. I didn't feel scared. I also had an awareness that there was a ship outside, like just hovering above the water, which I thought was interesting too. Like it was just like, I couldn't see it out the window, but I could see it in my mind very clearly. So anyways, with my eyes open, I'm seeing this being. It's almost like it's imposed in my sight. And I said, are you here to help me? Like I was confused, but I asked questions and it said, yes. And I said, oh, can you help me with this? Yes. Immediately the pain went away. Oh, what else? Can you help me to fall asleep? Yes. And then I was asleep. So it was a really beautiful interaction.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing, you know, as I start sharing this story with other people, they're like, oh my God, I had this and I had this and I had this. So many people have connected to these energies. And so it's, you know, it's a reminder for us that we do have access. It's a reminder for us that if we're willing to be good stewards of humanity and reveal the truth, being the light bearers that we are, that we will, you know, we will overcome what we have been, I guess, dealing with or having to, you know, from the beginning of time. Right. And so I just think it's such a fascinating, beautiful experience for all of us. So it sounds to me like you have a sense of these galactic beings and you have a sense that you're getting wisdom that you don't even need to do research for. Is that fair to say?
Or it's just coming, it's coming way too quick and way too easy and, and the right people showing up at the right time that it's not, it's kind of a beyond a synchronicity. It feels, and other stuff occurring too, not just with my writing, but working a lot kind of from the love space of working on kind of my multidimensional self and realizing the juice that's there. That's been a big adjustment for me too. So, but I just feel like the more I'm looking back now, I realize, oh, it's all been directed. Like I wrote the script, but they're like everything, obviously to this moment that we're speaking, Deanne, it's like that where I'm like, oh, it's all directed and I'm, you know, I'm certainly here to help. And I kind of put out to him like, hey, you bring it and I'll do it. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, if you're bringing it, I'll do your bidding because I know it's a benevolent energy that's coming through, but it's it definitely is something that I talk to now at this point. I didn't used to.
Wow. Yeah.
Like it's that much stuff coming where it, when it happened again the other day at such a level that it happened, I was kind of spooked for a couple hours after that one where I was like, I mean, spooked in a good way, but still like, okay, I don't get to lie about this anymore. I don't get to deny or try to talk this one away. This is getting very tangible.
Right? Yeah. And I think it's going to keep getting more and more tangible, don't you? Like, I think we're
for sure.
this phase of our reality where they're here and we're going to start seeing them and feeling them and knowing them in a different way. So one of my invitations, you know, for the audience, even for you, is to continue building relationship with that aspect, that entity, that council. You know, the more that we build those relationships, I really feel like the more information can be transmitted through us.
Sure.
And, you know, we are turbo transmitters, right? And so it's recognizing that we have the ability to do that. And for those of us that are being called or summoned or whatever you want to call it, you know, we can choose to say no, but it's so much more fun to say yes, I think. Like, aren't you having fun? Don't you feel like, in a way, you're on fire? Like, you can feel the momentum because you're coming from a place of love and truth. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of circling back to what I was trying to get at when I got distracted by my praying mantis galactic story. But it is understanding that when we are coming from a place of love and truth, everything conspires to ensure that the message is revealed, that whatever needs to happen from that place gets the exposure that it needs to without us needing to try. Right?
Yeah, I think it's really kind of your, you know, you write the script and you manifest today what starts to begin tomorrow. And I really think that we, the more I'm into this passage, you know, that is a life and an avatar, but I came from love and I'll be love after the avatar dies.
Yeah.
The more I kind of sit with it, the more I realize like, oh, wow, I not only am a multidimensional being, but I literally have the manifest power to adjust the next few moments and the next few days and to change my passage to be anything that I desire it to be because I'm writing the script. I mean, as love, right?
As love, yeah.
So it's pretty wild to think that, you know, everybody gets to write their own script and it's a function of manifesting it and then starting to understand that you can believe in yourself and all things, if you're kind of stepping out with the heart, it's kind of crazy how powerful each of us is.
Yes. Yeah, I think this is it's very potent. Let's put it that way. And so, you know, all this being said, you know, obviously you have a passion to reveal the truth and to express these messages. And so you do some speaking as well, obviously doing podcast tours. I'm curious to know, you know, about some other facets of your work and what you really want to do in terms of your mission. So what do you help people with, you know, aside from writing these incredible books and opening all of this up? I'm just curious to know what those other pieces look like.
You mean like what my passion is outside of writing?
Yeah, like, I'm curious to know, you know, how, like, if someone says, oh my God, I love your book, what else is there? Like, can you teach me something? Can you show me something? Is there a program that I get to be part of?
Oh, you know, I think kind of the main thing that's in the book is more about, you know, the book reveals kind of our rough, covert history, which deals with some dark topics. But I think overall, the feeling that, I mean, when you know, the reviews are coming in that people, and I'll certainly get phone calls and emails to where people will say, you know, that's an insanely rough, dark story, but it leaves you feeling hopeful. And the reality is, I believe you really can't step forward until you kind of know your accurate past, whether it's dark or not, and whether it's continuing to be dark. And in the realms of our current state that we're in, there's a lot of stuff that's not of light, but I will say that it's a very bright future that's coming. I do believe we're being welcomed to the galactic community this year. I believe the planet is going to know that we're absolutely not alone, and it will be revealed in a bunch of different ways, but it's coming very rapidly. And it's a super exciting future, but it's also going to get a little rough here in the next few months as the malevolent groups that are currently in control of the planet are having to depart. They're going to make some last gasp attempts to hold control. So I'm just saying, you know, if you're asking about what would my message be beyond the book, it would be stand by, step forward with your heart, not your head. Let this be the decoder of your heart. You step ahead with your heart, it will naturally make you not look outward towards CNN or all the reels that are violent and all of the stuff that's going on to pull you away from your superpower.
Yeah.
Because it's this thing that if we all step forward with our heart, when the critical mass reaches what it's about to anyway, the planet, Sophia, I call her, some people call her Gaia.
Yes.
The planet, as she is shifting, raising to the fourth frequency, we're being taken along kind of like her cubs, inexorably taken with her because she's just done with the control.
Yeah.
And so I think what you're going to see is this amazing reveal that we are in the galactic community. It will be no doubt about it. It will be global, and that so much is coming. That's amazing, but it will get a little chaotic, slightly violent before it resolves. But just step ahead with your heart. You'll be fine. There's absolutely nothing to fear.
I think that's a really powerful message because we live in a world that's inundated with fear, 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 fear. And I think that's, you know, something we need to really keep in mind. So thank you for that. I'm curious to know, I feel like there's more that needs to be shared here. And so I want to just dig in a little bit to, you know, the process of like revealing truth and what that was for you. You know, I know there's a lot of people that are holding a lot of stuff inside, you know, and I think back to like my grandparents' generation and like, you didn't tell anyone anything. My mom went to school with her half brother and didn't know it was her brother until they were well into adulthood because you didn't share stories, right? You kept hush, hush. So what would you suggest for people that are like, I want to be truthful and I want to be authentically me, because that vibration of authenticity we know is the highest vibration of love, right? And so, you know, how do we start to be courageous and how do we be these truth showers?
That's a good question. The way I have switched over, I mean, I'm a complete skeptic by nature. I am not, you know, 20 years ago, if you said anything about aliens, I would just look at you sideways like, bro, you're out of your mind.
Yep.
But But yep. obviously that's a change that's changed for me through my research of realizing there's just volumes of information throughout our history and currently even more because of the internet, of the amount of alien interaction and alien traded technologies that are all around us, that it was just, it became quickly apparent to me like, oh, I've been hoodwinked. But having said that, what's hard for me is like what's been hard for you, Dan, is the idea of expressing that there are ETs around us within the planet, off the planet, and it's about to kind of explode into we're all going to be welcomed in the galactic community. Now, a lot of my friends will just turn sideways and go, yeah, right, bro, love you, but you're nuts. Yeah. But what I've learned is if I get out of my head where the ego is,
right?
Because when I start to say it, I go, okay, what am I afraid to say here? I'm afraid of being judged.
Yep.
So then I go, well, let's look at that fear. Where's that coming from? That's not coming from my heart. That's coming from my head of wanting to be the perfect person, which nobody gets to be. So what I would say to folks is if they're sensing they're kind of isolated and they're too afraid to talk about their truth, I'd say, once again, you know, take your 5 minutes in the morning after breakfast, turn all your technology off, light your little piece of sage, and just start with opening with your heart and allow the brain to decode just your heart. Don't try to quiet the brain. It'll spin forever, and it wants you to go to CNN. It wants you to go try to solve it by thinking it through, and it doesn't work. And I tried to do that for years, and that'll drive you crazy. And I'll tell anyone out there, I have the fastest monkey mind there is. So if you think that you're stuck because you have monkey mind that's way too progressive and too fast and you can never slow down your brain, I'm saying, yeah, you're right. You probably can't. And I'm saying, stop.
Yeah.
I'm saying, start with a different foundation. Open your heart. It'll be quiet and just let your brain kind of interpret what's coming out of your heart. And what's wild is literally... I'm only saying 5 minutes a day. Folks, we're all on the toilet for 5 minutes a day. Yeah, let's just call it what it is, all right?
Yeah.
So take your 5 minutes and defend that space. Nobody gets to talk to you. There's no phone calls. There's no technology. You find your little corner, and you defend that each day. I'm just telling you, molecular changes begin occurring immediately. Mm. And that's what I do, and I recommend it. There's a space that you will find. As Rumi says, all humans have a state of awareness that is prior to the universe and the source of it.
Foo-foo. Love, Rumi. I'm going to add one to that because Eckhart Tolle says that we're all addicted to overthinking. And most people, when that wouldn't be the first thing that you come to your mind, like, what are you addicted to? Right. And so we've been so conditioned again to spin on the hamster wheel, because mm-hmm. if we're spinning on the hamster wheel, we're not near as productive and not doing all the things. Right. You know, it keeps us distracted from
the divinity
within us. Mm-hmm. Right. Whatever that might be perceived as. So I love that. And I love that you're honest about the fact that, like, we're human beings. We got stuff going on. But you know what? If you're on the toilet, you know, that's so much time that you have that you can be using as sacred time, right? It's like now we flip a switch. It's like, oh, that's sacred time for me where I have no distractions. Yes, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful and brilliant, you know? Because I think, again, we get so caught up in all these excuses because we're always moving, you know? We're always doing. So I think it's a beautiful practice of being as well.
And I'm not recommending per se the toilet, Dan, just so you know. I'm saying, look, we're all on the toilet for 5 minutes. If you can do that for 5 minutes a day,
okay. You
can definitely create a window of five. Now, I'm saying the toilet is also available if that's your thing. I'm just saying that I might need to light my sage after the toilet too, but I'm just saying that I try to find a separate little corner breakfast nook, you know, but I'm open to both. And sometimes both happen, and sometimes it happens in the car now. And all I'm saying to everyone, I will guarantee you, when you start to tap into what you are multidimensionally,
yes,
and we are revered by ET races, humans are revered by ET races. Think about this. Not because of our technology, because these races are far beyond that. They'll essentially say, no, no, no. What you need to understand is it's what you as only humans bring. This multidimensional thing that when you step into what you are far beyond all ET races. We will eventually, I'm pretty convinced, humanity will eventually administer the entire multiverse because we were created out of the best of 28 elite ET races that were benevolent. We were kind of a beaker experiment.
Yes.
It's coming to fruition right now. But literally, the juice that we've had that we've been told that we don't have for all of our lives.
Right.
When we step into that, I'm telling you, if you do your 5 minutes a day, you're going to have molecular changes that are going to make you question everything outside of you. And you're going to want to go inside more to see the magic that you are.
Yes. Ooh, it's so good. I've had goosebumps a few times in this conversation, and that was one of them. So yeah, so, so good. And thanks for clarifying about the toilet. You know, that was a good laugh. So, and I think it's a good reminder to just that we can weave that in, that there doesn't have to be any excuses. You know, I often talk about weaving spirituality and recognizing that spirituality is not separate from my existence. It is my existence.
And it can happen on the toilet.
Right, it can happen
for sure. Anywhere. It can happen anywhere. It's all. It has nothing to do with the body, so to speak. So
right, yeah, you know, it's beyond.
Kind of out of body, yeah.
Right, yeah, it is. I am so fascinated. I cannot wait to go and get your book now. I'm so tickled pink, and I'm so excited about the second book as well. Already, you are, you know, one of the few humans on this planet that has, you know, the heart of the courageous soul and, you know, recognizing and witnessing you as a light worker in this world. I thank you for doing the work that you continue to do and to reveal the truth to the world and create beautiful things. Now I want to also go on Showtime and I want to go check out Prime. Like, I need to go check these out now. I'm really excited about that. And, you know, as we kind of come to a close again, I feel like we could, you know, go off many offshoots off this conversation, but is there anything that you really feel like it's important for people to know aside from what you've already shared? Is there anything else that comes to mind that you feel that you need to express before we wrap things up for today?
I think I've pretty much covered it. I want to reiterate just, you know, it's been an honor to be on your show, Deanne. Really fun to hang out and you ask really poignant questions. And I'm sure that's why you've got your listenership is they're enjoying what they're getting out of the show. And, you know, to reiterate that we have a super bright future ahead for all of us.
Yeah.
And that if you step into your heart, kind of if you step forward with that in the coming months as things get chaotic, there's literally nothing to fear.
Yes, nothing to fear. Do you hear that, everybody? I know, easier said than done when it's in our faces all the time. But, you know, I think we need the reminder, right? You know, as we fall into the old defaults and the old traps, you know. So thank you. Thank you for reminding us that we are creating heaven on earth, because that's really what's coming. I really truly believe that is, you know, part of the arrival of that experience for us. And also witnessing that it is available already to us, for those of us that are ready for that. But thank you. Thank you for taking the time to share and to expand us and our aperture for what is really possible out there and to open ourselves up to some other possibilities that maybe we haven't considered before.
Mm-hmm.
So, Andy, where can we find your book? Where do we go? What's in store for Connect?
Sure. So they can go to mdseelig.com. There's a bunch of links there. Obviously, Amazon, the Audible is available as well. And I read that. That's a 22-hour book. So you have a lot of running or whatever you do, gardening you can do to listen to the book. It's a 600-page novel.
Oh.
But you can also go, I have to remember these social media things. Lincoln reminds me. It's called, this is the Instagram one. I think it's at real.mdseelig. And a bunch of links are there. I believe that's the Instagram one. But great. Yeah, all those, there's tons of videos and stuff on the Patreon page as well as far as first contact stuff. So take a look, and I think you can have fun with the read, and certainly leave us a review so that the algorithm rises on Amazon, that yep. the message gets out to a little more yep. people. That helps
yep. a lot. Yeah, we want to help you get that out there. And folks, all of that information will be in the show notes, so you don't have to remember any of that. It's going to be in the show notes. You can just click on the links below this podcast. Andy, this has been a real treat. I'm going to be picking your brain even more. I feel like I think there's more to discover here. And yeah, really looking forward to reading these beautiful books that you're
sure.
working on. So sure. thank you so very much. And for all of you listening, thanks for tuning in. And who knows, maybe some galactic beings are calling your spirit right now. And so an invitation for you to continue exploring, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, be well. Bye for now.
So happy you could join us today, and we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca, and when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.